You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
1 Corinthians chapter number 6 in your Bibles. Such a privilege and honor to be here with you tonight. And I just made my way back from camp, and I'm so privileged to be here with you. And I love Pastor Treiber. Pastor, thank you for allowing me to preach in this pulpit today. Now, probably other than my dad, there's not been a man who's affected my life more than Pastor Treiber. He said he helped me the day I was born. I do not remember that, but I believe him. I believe him for sure, and I'm so thankful for him. And then being able to come to this great college, to be able to learn under him, and then the privilege now to serve on staff, under his staff, just the things that I get to learn. I'm so thankful, so privileged, and I love it. I love being a part of this place, and I love North Valley Baptist Church. Other than my church, this is a place I call home now. It's where I get to be with my wife and raise my son. And other than being with my dad, this is the only church that I've ever been a part of. And I love this place so much. And you know, we hear great things about it when we're coming to Bible college. We hear about the bus ministry. We hear about the soul winning that happens at this place. We hear about the Bibles that are passed out. We hear about the great ministries that are here. We think of all the things that you've overcome, the 50 years that you've been here in this place, been faithful to God. You know, all of those things are great, and I'm so thankful for that. And I remember coming into college, just even the hymnals that you all produce, how it's scattered all throughout the U.S. It's amazing the reach that North Valley KNVBC has, and that's all because of God's grace. It's all because God has used us, and I'm so thankful for that. But the one thing that they did not tell me about North Valley, the great thing that happens here, I've seen Easter at the Park, I've seen Pastors Conference, I've seen Missions Conference, I've seen Roundup Sunday, but the one thing that they never talk about is something spectacular that takes place, and it takes place every single week. Every single Sunday night, it happens like clockwork, and it amazes me every time. Brother Martinez gets up, he brings up his hymnal, and he says, it's time to dismiss the wiggle worms. And I kid you not, they do not tell you about that when you are coming from a different church, but when you come here and you see that for the very first time, that is a sight to behold. I mean, they say, go, and they shoot out the gate. They're running down the aisles. They come up here. You see them trample over everybody. Then they make their way finally up here. You see them try to fist bump pastor, try to shoot pastor. I don't know what they're doing. And then you see the smart ones, and they must learn it from their parents because you see that kid with that shiny dollar bill. And we have this little church house up here, but you see the smart ones. They just hang on to it, and they walk right on the wall. And you know they get that from their parents, and what a blessing that is just to see that, and it truly is just a remarkable sight. I'm glad that they train here to be close to your pastor, and that's something you'll never regret, teaching your kids to be close to pastor, because he is a representative of Jesus Christ. He's a representative. He's our shepherd. I'm so thankful that they put an importance upon that. I also love preaching. I love Pastor Treiber. I love North Valley. I love preaching. I love the preaching that has come out of this place. I love the preachers who have come to this college. I love the preaching that our pastor gives faithfully every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, even sometimes at men's prayer. But I love preaching. And now that I get the opportunity, I'm not a skilled preacher. I'm not a funny preacher. But I treasure every time that I get the opportunity to preach. It was... I'm just so thankful. I love preaching. I believe God has called me to it. And there's three reasons why I preach. And number one, I preach, and I love that God has given me the opportunity. But the reason why I can, the reason why I believe he's called me to, is because there's been a change in my life. I think back to that day, July 16, 2008, 17 years ago, as a seven-year-old boy, I remember going into my dad's office, and there I knelt down by his copier. I remember him showing me scriptures from the Bible. They were highlighted. I can't tell you what verses
they were. I can't tell you exactly what he said, but I remember that day kneeling there by the copier in his office and praying and asking Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And I can't tell you every single word I said, but I can tell you that I came up changed when I came up from that place. I went down lost and on my way to hell, and I came up saved and on my way to heaven. And I can't tell you that I've been perfect every single day since then. Can't tell you that I've not messed up since then, but I can tell you that I've been changed since that day, July 16th, 2008. Also, I'm thankful for the privilege to preach because of the call that's been placed upon my life. It was April 14th, 2012 at a church in Stockton, California. And it was there they had a church planners meeting, and they talked about the need for churches in California. They said if you looked at it and compared it to third world countries, they said that the state of California had less churches in California than what they do in third world countries. And I remember that day I asked Dad, how do you know if God is speaking to you? And he sort of looked at me funny. He said, son, you'll just know. And I remember after that meeting, getting up and realizing there was just a burden upon my heart. I can't explain it. I can't tell you what it was like. But I just remember I felt the burden of God placing it upon my heart, saying, I'm calling you to preach. So I preach because there's a change. I preach because there's been a call upon my life. But then thirdly, I preach tonight because I believe, like you all in this room, I believe we believe the same, but I believe that God still can. And what do I mean by that? I believe we gather here on a Wednesday night because we believe that God still can. I believe we send our teens to camp and youth conference because we believe that God still can. I believe we have pastors conference and missions conference because we believe that God still can. I believe we have soul winning and Bible distribution. I believe we go out on Saturdays and visit those bus routes and visit kids and invite them to come to church because we believe that God still can work in their life. We believe that God still can show up in this meeting right now. We believe that as we were praying tonight, that God still can show up in the life of our teenagers at camp, and that maybe tonight it just might happen where the floodgates open wide and God can still save them. God can still call them to go and be preachers and missionaries. And I believe we pray tonight because we believe and we hope that God can and God still will work tonight up at camp. So as I'm preaching tonight, please, if you're going to be distracted or anything, but maybe just think of our teenagers tonight as I'm preaching. Would you just pray for them as we go throughout this entire service? Right now it's going on, but would you just pray that God would do a work in their life? I believe we still can because the Bible says we believe the promise. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I believe God still can. I believe he still can save America. I believe if he still wanted to, our president could get saved. Whatever it is, there's nothing that is impossible for God. And so tonight, I'm not going to be very long at all, I promise. I know you want to get home. But the Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And we're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And I know this passage would seem... It would seem that this message would be one of reproving and rebuking. However, my prayer today is that by the end, that we would just be more exhorted to do more for Christ. Maybe I could just exhort us to do more for Christ in these last days. I had the privilege to preach at camp yesterday, and I really struggled with what to preach here this evening. I thought I might preach that message from then, but yesterday I preached to your teenagers. And I had the privilege, I was there only for 2 days. I drove back up this morning to be here tonight. And I had the privilege to be with the ninth grade boys. And I just didn't get to be a part of all the sports and activities with them. But I actually had the privilege to bunk with them as well. And you'd be very surprised how much energy they have at 2 o'clock in the morning. They were playing rock, paper, scissors in the dark. And how they would play, they would go rock, paper, scissors, and the guy would say, what did you get? And he said, no, what did you get? He said, no, you answer first. One guy would say, I got rock, paper, and scissors. He says, well, I beat you still. And that was your ninth graders, and I was privileged to be with them. But I had the privilege to preach, and I preached a message for them entitled, Jesus Loves Me, But Do I Love Jesus? And I told them if they could just take anything with them from camp, no matter what they do in their life, no matter if they go away from God, no matter if they stay in church, I pray that if they could take one thing with them throughout their life, it's that Jesus loves me. And in 1 Corinthians 6, in verse 19 and 20, we just see a little bit of that love that Jesus Christ has for us. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight, and Lord, I'm so thankful for this church. Lord, I'm unworthy to be behind this pulpit tonight, but God, I thank you for the privilege. God, I pray that you would just fill me, help them only to hear the words that you would have. God, I pray that I wouldn't speak what I believe, but what your word says. Would you give me power? And then, God, I think of our teenagers right now. They're getting ready in the song service. Lord, I pray that even now you would begin to work. I pray that they would be convicted. Lord, I pray that you would stir their hearts as they're in that amphitheater tonight. And then, Lord, would you please fill Brother Flood with your Holy Spirit? Give him power. Give him an unction. And Lord, I pray that if there's some who aren't saved tonight, that they would trust you as their personal Savior. May we hear of many decisions, and Lord, we'll rejoice and give you all the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this letter is addressed to the church at Corinth. And these are believers here in this place, but this church is known for being a carnal church. And I don't believe our church is that. I believe that we have a great church, a church that loves God, a church that wants to do good things for God. But we can always see that there's always a point where, yes, we're saved, but there's things in our life where maybe all of us in here are a little bit carnal. We have that old sin nature that we always have to deal with, that we always have to keep on going with. And it's like two dogs that are constantly fighting one another in our bodies, and we have to always keep that in our mind. But here we have this church, and Paul is dealing with them, and he writes this letter, and he begins to tell them that now that you're saved, now that you're a Christian, now that Jesus Christ has paid that price for you and died upon the cross of Calvary, because of that, now you are not your own. Yes, you have this body. Yes, you are here on this earth still, but you are not your own. Your body does not belong to you, but rather you have been bought. Jesus Christ now owns you rightfully, but he owns you in love, and he cares about you. And you know, it's a sobering thought to me, knowing that we've been bought. It's sobering and it's enlightening to me that we've been bought by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, that term carries the idea that something was exchanged so that you and I could be free. You and I were bought, not with money, not with the blood of bulls and goats, not by prayers, not by good works, not by anything in our own power, not by anything we could do, not by going to church, not by being a good person, not by going soul winning, not by reading our Bible, not by giving our tithes and offerings. Nothing that we could do saved us, but we were bought simply with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took that crown of thorns upon his head. He took those nails in his hands, that nails in his feet. He was whipped. He was lashed. He was beat upon. He was spit. All of that is what he did to pay the price for you and I. He paid that price. I told the teenagers, think of it, yes, for the world, but think of it, he paid that price just for you. We are bought with a price. I'm thankful this evening that Jesus Christ didn't have to put down a down payment upon my life. He didn't have to ask for a loan. He didn't have to make payments upon this price that he had to pay. But when Jesus Christ paid that price on the cross, he was able, the Bible says he was rich in mercy, and he was able to pay for my sins in their entirety. He paid it in full. Can I say this evening, if all that Jesus Christ ever did, if all that Jesus Christ ever did for you and I tonight, if all he ever did was die upon the cross to pay for our sins, that's more than you and I could ever deserve. If Jesus Christ, the only thing that he ever did for us was die and take those scars for us, that was worth more than what we could ever repay. But I'm thankful that after he saves us, he just doesn't leave us there, but then he comes and lives inside of us, and he tells us how to live our life, tells us how we can be joyful, he tells us how we can press on. He tells us how we can be found faithful at the end of our life. But I'm thankful that Jesus Christ paid the price for you and I. But tonight I'd like to ask you the question, for what purpose were we saved? You see, not only have we been bought, but look at this. In verse number 20, the Bible says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God. Don't turn there, but Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, the Lord says, thou art worthy. They're in heaven. It's a vision up there, and they're saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So God's original purpose for us, why he created us, was with the purpose of bringing pleasure to himself. In addition to that, once sin entered into the world and enslaved us and set us on a path that was doomed for hell, Jesus Christ bought us back. He purchased us with the same purpose of being glorified by us. You and I were put on this earth for the pleasure of Jesus Christ. You and I were put on this earth to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. He paid the price, purchased us back with his blood, and now our purpose is to serve him. So our main goal today and purpose is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And you know, the world looks at us strangely. The world wonders why we do the things that we do. Even some churches would ask us, why don't we have the music and the lighting that appeals to the more worldly flesh and that would appeal to more people? Don't you know that you would draw more people to your church if you would change your music, or if you would change your standards, or if you would just tweak this a little bit? And don't you want more people to come to church? And yes, we want more people to come. As many people that would want to come to church, we want them here. But our main goal first is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. You see, the life that I've been given today, the life that you've been given, you might be an electrician, you might be a lawyer, you might be a teacher, whatever it is. Yes, that might be your role in life, but your goal is not to be a teacher. Your goal is not to be an electrician. My goal is not to be a staff member. Our first goal in life is to bring glory and honor to the one that saved us, to the one that took those nails for us, to the one who loves us, to the one who intercedes on our behalf. That is our goal, to bring glory and honor to him. Why don't you dress this way? Why don't you say those things? Don't you like the way this stuff tastes? Yes, I might, but more than my feelings, more than my desires, more than what I would want, I want to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And I believe that's us here in this church. We want to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. But you know that verse there, for ye are bought. Jesus Christ, we know, had to pay the debt. It says he bought us. Amen. And there was a price that he had to pay. When I was hired on staff, I remember there was something that stuck out to me in the early days. And I was working late with a staff member, and we were enjoying it. We were having a good time, but it was late into the night. And I remember I enjoyed it. I loved it. But this man, he's been doing it for a couple more years than I. And so I just asked him, I said, why do you do it? Why? Like, I'm not saying, oh, you shouldn't now, but why are you here this late? Why do you enjoy working this late? And he told me, he said, I want to be worth my paycheck. I want to be worth my paycheck. And I remember that sticking out to me. And today, I don't want to be worth my paycheck, but in comparison to this verse, I want to be worth my price tag. Can I tell you today that someone, Jesus Christ, overpaid for me? Jesus Christ, when he died upon that cross, he paid more for me than what I deserved to be paid for. I didn't deserve his precious blood. I didn't deserve for him to die in my place. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, and I deserve to be burning in a place called hell. But for some reason, Jesus Christ thought I was worth the price tag. And so he paid that price for me. And now I want to be worth that price. Some people would say God must not have known what he was buying when he got you, or else he wouldn't have paid that much for you. No, friend, that's where love is, because Jesus knew exactly what I was worth. He knew I was worthless. He knew I would never live up. He knew that I couldn't ever pay him back for what he would give me. He knew that I couldn't meet the standards that he had for my life. Yet he loved me so much that he was willing to pay the price, although I was not worth it. He was willing to pay the price, although I was not worth it. Today, I wonder, there are things in our life. Are we worth the price tag? Are we worth? All of us in this room, we have bought things. Maybe you had to spend a little bit more, but we've all bought that piece of clothing, that item that maybe we shouldn't have spent on, right? Maybe it was a little too much out of our price range. Maybe it was a car for some people. Maybe it was a t-shirt for others. But it was something a little bit out of our price range, something of that sort. And when we purchased it, we were hoping that it would at least last or be worth the price. But have you ever purchased something where you had to spend a little bit more and then it lasted longer than what you thought it would? It held up longer than what you thought it would. It was better quality. It was a better running car. And you said, that was a wise decision. That was the best purchase I ever made. And 20 years later, that item is still working, whatever it is. You know, in my life, I want Jesus not just to get a good return. I don't want him just to get what should be expected. I don't want him just to get the bare minimum for my life. But I want Jesus Christ, when he looks at my life and the price tag that he paid, I want him to think, man, that was a great purchase. Man, that was worth it all. And I know he thinks that anyways, but I want, as I preach today, I want him to think Robert Simmons was worth the paycheck. Robert Simmons was worth the price I paid. Robert Simmons is doing something for me in Santa Clara, California. And he was worth every drop of blood. He was worth every agonizing pain on that cross. He was worth every scar that I took, every time I lifted myself up and said, it is finished. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want him to think it was worth it that he hung on that cross for me. Those teenagers today, I hope that up at camp, that they'll want to be worth the price tag. I hope that they'll say, I want to do something with my life for Jesus Christ. I want to pan out and I want to do things right and I want to serve him. And I hope, and I think all of us in this room want to be worth what Jesus Christ paid for us.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.